It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Once again, good afternoon to you. Welcome back. You're still listening to the second of the 3 hours we have together of live with me, Naye Lupondwana. We are together until three, like I said. Now we do have Brother Innocence Chibambo, who's going to be helping us chew on Exodus 28. Brother Innocence Chibambo, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you very much, my brother. Good afternoon to you too. I hope you're doing well here in Blantyre, Malawi. We are fine. Yeah, just a bit of the hot weather. I don't know how it is right there in South Africa, but I hope everything is fine, my brother.
Lovely. Thank you very much. So we read the full chapter, and then I give you a minute to give your preliminary comments, and then we get into the Q&A. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
All right. We have a very long chapter, 42 verses, if I'm not mistaken, 43, I beg your pardon. And so Let's get into it. All right. Mm-hmm. The book of Exodus from the NIV, the New International Version, reads as follows. Have Aaron, your brother, brought to you from among the Israelites, along with his sons Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, so they may serve me as priests. Make sacred garments for your brother Aaron to give him dignity and honor. Tell all the skilled workers to whom I have given wisdom in such matters that they are to make garments for Aaron for his consecration, so he may serve me as priest. These are the garments they are to make: a breastpiece, an ephod, a robe, a woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. They are to make these sacred garments for your brother Aaron and his sons, so they may serve me as priests. Have them use gold and blue, purple and scarlet yarn, and fine linen. Make the ephod of gold and of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and a finely twisted linen, the work of skilled hands. It is to have two shoulder pieces attached to two of its corners, so it can be fastened. Its skillfully woven waistband is to be like it, of one piece with the ephod, and made with gold and with blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and with finely twisted linen. Take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel, in the other of their birth, six names on one stone and the remaining six on the other. Engrave the names of the sons of Israel on the two stones, the way a gem cutter engraves a seal. Then mount the stones in gold filigree settings and fasten them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel. Aaron is to bear the names of his shoulders as a memorial before the Lord. Make gold filigreed settings and two braided chains of pure gold like a rope, and attach the chains to the settings. Fashion a breastpiece for making decisions, the work of skilled hands. Make it like the ephod of gold and of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and a finely twisted linen. It is to be square, a span long and a span wide, and folded double. Then mount four rows of precious stones on it. The first row shall be, is it carnelian, chrysolite, and beryl. The second row shall be turquoise, lapis lazuli, and emerald. The third row shall be jacinth, The third role shall be Jacinth. I'm hoping I'm reading that correctly. Yes. If it is Jacinth. I think I've lost. Oh, there you go. There are to be 12 stones, one for each of the names of the sons of Israel, each engraved like a seal with the name of one of the 12 tribes. I think I missed my part there. Jacinth, Agate, there you go, and amethyst. The fourth row shall be topaz, onyx, and jasper. Mount them in gold filigree settings. There you go. For the breastpiece, make braided chains of pure gold like a rope. Make two gold rings for it and fasten them to two corners of the breastpiece. Fasten the gold, the two gold chains, to the rings at the corners of the breastpieces. And make two gold rings and attach them to the other two corners of the breastpiece on the inside edge next to the ephod. Make two more gold rings and attach them to the bottom of the shoulder pieces on the front and on the ephod, close to the seam just above the waistband of the ephod. The rings of the breastpiece are to be tied to the rings of the ephod with the blue cord connecting it to the waistband so that the breastpiece will not swing out from the ephod. Whenever Aaron enters the holy place, he will bear the names of the sons of Israel over his heart on the breastpiece of decision as a continuing memorial before the Lord. Also put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastpiece, so they may be over Aaron's heart whenever he enters the presence of the Lord. Thus Aaron will always bear the means of making decisions for the Israelites over his heart before the Lord. Make the robe of the ephod entirely of blue cloth, with an opening for the head in its center. There shall be a woven edge like a collar around this opening so that it will not tear. Make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn around them of the robe with gold bells between them. The gold bells are the pomegranates to alternate around the hem of the robe. Aaron must wear it when he ministers. The sound of the bells will be heard when he enters the holy place before the Lord and when he comes out, so that he will not die. Make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it as on a seal, holy to the Lord. Fasten a blue cord to it to attach it to the turban. It is to be on the front of the turban. It will be on Aaron's forehead and will bear the guilt involved in the sacred gifts the Israelites consecrate. Whatever their gifts may be, it will be on Aaron's forehead continually, so that they will be accepted or acceptable to the Lord. And finally, weave the tunic of fine linen and make the turban of fine linen. The sash is to be the work of an embroiderer. Make tunics, sashes, and caps for Aaron's sons to give them dignity and honor. After you put these clothes on your brother Aaron and his sons, anoint and ordain them, consecrate them so they may serve me as priests. Make linen garments, or undergarments rather, as a covering for the body, reaching from the waist to the thigh. Aaron and his sons must wear them whenever they enter the tent of meeting or approach the altar to minister in the holy place, so that they will not incur any guilt and die. This is to be a lasting ordinance for Aaron and his disciples. May the Lord bless the reading of his word now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Your comments, Amen. My brother.
All right. First things first, when you look at the whole chapter 28 of the book of Exodus, the first thing that always comes to mind, I mean, is why would God have to detail all these things to Moses and Aaron? And also, even when the Bible is being recorded, you remember, the book of John tells us there are a lot of things that happened, I mean, in the ministry of Jesus, but the Bible would not write everything. I mean, there are times you would think even this kind of information would not be part of the Bible. Just, it's kind of like, why do we need all these things? So many people, I would tell you that they haven't gone into chapters like this, because to them, when they start the first verses, they'll be like, I mean, I don't see anything interesting about it. But when you look at it in the spiritual eyes, you understand that there is something very interesting about what God was actually communicating with both Aaron, Moses, as well as us. The first thing that I would say is that from chapter 28 of the book of Exodus, we see the God that we serve, that he's the God of order. Why am I saying that? Because look at the flow of the things, the instructions that he is making. He's not a chaotic God. He doesn't just leave the children of Israel without having them in order, or without giving the orders to those who are the ministers. Because remember that Moses and Aaron, though they were brothers, but their ministerial work kind of was different at the sanctuary. You remember that Aaron was to minister like the high priest, and all the sons that followed him, they ministered at the priest. So as Moses was working, Aaron Aaron was to work as the high priest, God gave the order on how he should look and how he should dress when he gets to his ministry. So the whole chapter 28 of the book of Exodus basically tells us about how they were supposed to look like. In other words, when the Israelites look at Aaron, they could easily differentiate him from all the other people, not just because, but also because of the kind of the attire that he was wearing. So the whole chapter 28 tells us about the detailing of the kind the attires that he was wearing. But then there's another interesting things about this chapter. One, for example, when you look at chapter 9 through 12, we see that God was trying to show how Aaron symbolized Christ. So you see that like Aaron, who symbolized Christ, our Savior bears the name of all his people on his heart in the holy place. And our great high priest, which is Jesus Christ, remembers all the ways by which he has encouraged us to trust. He is ever mindful of his covenant, and all who seek of him shall find, and all who knock we have the door opened to them. This is basically exactly what God wanted the Israelites to know about what kind of high priest that we have. Because remember, everything that was done to the Israelites in the wilderness, their salvation, their deliverance, it was the typical message of the kind of salvation that we all are given freely. And then you read also 15 through 21, where they're also talking about the breastplate with the 12 precious stones. I mean, why would it be with the stones to start with? Over the ephod was the breastplate, that's the priestly vestments. This was of the same material as the ephod, and it was in the form of a square, like measuring a span, and was suspended from the shoulders by a cord of blue from golden rings. And the border was formed of a variety of precious stones, the same that formed the 12 foundations of the city of God. Look, these 12 cities, the 12 foundations that make up the city of God. And also, you know, in another imagery, we have the 12 tribes of Israel. But also God told them in verse 21, and the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, the names of the tribes of Israel. And then we have got also the 30th verse that says, and thou shalt put in the breastplate. By the way, I'm reading from KJV. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment, the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. So from here we see that at the right and left of the breastplate were the two large stones of great brilliancy, you know, and these were known as the Urim and the Thummim. By them, the will of God was made known through the high priest.
And I want us to get into just that. Just that. I'm glad you're touching on it. I want us to get into that. First and foremost, you asked a question that I was going to ask, and I was hoping you're going to answer it. Why all the specificity?
Yes, yes. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, the Bible says our God is not a God of confusion, but the God of order. And in verse 40 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Bible actually concludes to say, let everything be done decently and in order. The reason why God had to allow them to follow that kind of order is because he didn't want them to be chaotic, because their God is not chaotic.
My issue is not about order there, my brother. My issue is about the specifics that God has articulated here.
Yes. Now, the things that are articulated there, you can see that everything has been mentioned according to where it was supposed to be. Now, the things that are mentioned there, as I said, that we are talking about the salvation, those were the typical things about the salvation plan of God. So you see, he talked about the stones. For example, I gave you the example of the stones, the 12 stones which are represented as the 12 tribes.
Let's not go to the stones quite yet. Let's not go to the stones quite yet. I need you to help me understand. Does everything here have its significance? Can you explain the significance of everything here?
Yes, everything actually has a significance.
Okay, because, all right. No. Don't worry. We'll get into it. I want us then to first start with garments. What makes garments sacred? Verse 2 says, make sacred garments for your brother Aaron. What makes clothes sacred?
The clothes are not just only sacred on their own. The first thing that we should know is that according to the plan of salvation, the sacredness of the clothes are done by them being washed in the blood of the Lamb.
No, sir. No, sir. No, there's no blood.
That's the antipical. I would say that we only
have 10 minutes there, my brother. So we need to just get into it.
We don't have enough time. So we just have to get into it.
So tell us about the garment. What makes these garments in verse 2 sacred?
The garments are sacred because they are being used in the temple of God. And the temple is the sacred, just maybe to be just a summary of it. But I would wish if you had enough time to just explain, because remember that if we take a basin from the home, it remains a basin and sacred until you get it home at the sanctuary, where the sanctuary has the sacredness presence of God. And that presence of God is the one that sanctified everything that was there.
So do we have any sacred garments today?
I beg your pardon?
Do we have sacred garments today?
Not the physical garments that we have nowadays, because these were happening in the old sanctuary that was given in the book of Exodus, in Exodus 25, verse 8.
Okay, what is an ephod?
When you talk of an ephod, we are talking of something. I think I also mentioned it when I was studying the lesson. The ephod was basically something that it was like something they were wearing on, or should I say, like on through the, it had the strings. So those strings, they could attach to something that came like down the breastplate. From the breastplate that has been explained. For example, let me just read you from the quote that, I mean, from the verse that I was reading before.
No. The I was Bible just hoping says, you just explain what it is for the listeners to understand it. We've read it, but now we just need you to just give us a mental picture of what we're talking about here.
All right. So, okay, an effort, it's like, okay, the quote that they were put in different. There was a set that connect one, just a direct meaning, we say that it was a type of an apron. Maybe I should just say that according to the Hebrew Bible, it was owned by the high priest of the Israel, and it was like an artifact and an object to be revealed in ancient Israel culture.
Right. Mr. So Preacher, like man, just hold on for us. Let's try. I'm gonna try and call you again. Our line is deteriorated and we can't make out what you're saying. Please bear with me. I'm gonna try and call you just now. So is that okay?
Oh, okay.
Thank you, sir. All right, we're going to try and see if we can get that line clearer because we missed out on what his explanation was. And I'm hoping that deterioration does not signal the end of our conversation. But it's calling but not ringing. I'm hoping it will get through at some point. There you go. Seems to be ringing. And I'm hoping we'll be able to use the remaining 7 minutes to some great effect. All right, you were explaining the ephod. Go ahead, sir.
Are you hearing me well now?
I can much better. Go ahead. Can you hear me, sir?
All right. Okay. Yeah. So the question was about it. An effort. So I was saying that an effort is like, okay, basically it's just like a linen apron that is worn in the ancient Hebrew rites. Maybe I'll say like a vestment based. Yeah, so that was the question. I think I can just answer it in a simple way.
So these colors that we're told, it's supposed to be gold and blue and purple and scarlet. What do these colors signify?
Mm-hmm.
What do these colors signify?
When you're talking about the gold, they signify the character of God. Let me just simply put it that way. Because them differently, they signify different also characters of God. For example, blue was basically to show the faithfulness of God or to show the loyalty. So when you
where do you get it from, sir?
We get that. Oh, we get that from the scripture, and also we get them from
take
these
us
things
to that
were explained.
Take us to the scripture that explains these colors.
Okay, so, but we don't have enough time. So anyways, let me just say this for the time being. The colors, there are different colors that are used in the scriptures. We have got the red, we have got the blue, we have got the gold, we have got also the silver, we have got we have got the purple.
I'm just looking.
So, for example.
Sorry, sir. I'm just looking for us to just explain verse 6 there. These colors in verse 6 of the ephod, gold, blue, purple, and scarlet. Share with us the scripture that explains these colors.
The colors. Okay. In Exodus chapter 28, verse 1, the Bible says, simply put it, it says that you should make the robe of an ephod entirely of blue cloth. And then it tells us that you should also have the opening, right? Now, these colors, the colors that were being used then as the Israelites, they were just only used for the sake of just mentioning them. So I was saying that the scripture from many pages, it has been showing us that meaning. And so here we are talking about only these three colors because of the verse 6 that you have mentioned, which is talking about the ephod and the colors on the ephod. Now, your question basically, was it just about the explaining the colors, or do you want a verse that talks about the blue somewhere, or the verse that talks about the gold somewhere?
Yes.
Maybe I missed the question.
Yes, so we're trying to understand
Is it that somewhere that it?
Why did God choose these specific colors? Are you able to hear me, sir? Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about the 12 stones that are supposed to be decision stones. Explain that.
Oh, I should explain the network. Sorry, I should explain the 12.
Yes, the 12 decision stones, sir.
The decisions that were made, you know, even in the time of Joshua, there was a time when God said, you remember when they had just crossed towards the promised land, he told them you should pick out 12 stones, and then you should make the blockage, kind of like the altar. So God told Joshua that he should get 12 stones, and every stone should be representing the tribes of Israel. So maybe just the simple meaning of the 12 stones would be about the 12 tribes of Israel, because God, you know, God is his people. When you're talking about Israel, we're talking about the people of God. So when he talks about the 12 tribes of Israel, or the 12 stones to represent or having the names of the Israelites, God is just showing the ownership of the nation of Israel, just like in the modern world, we would also talk about the ownership of God towards the people who choose him.
And the decision part?
The decision of on making these 12 stones.
No, sir. Verse 29 says...
It was God himself who made the decision, because...
No, sir. Let me read verse 29 to you. Verse 29 says, whenever Aaron enters the holy place, he will bear the names of the sons of Israel over his heart on the breastpiece of decision as a continual memorial before the Lord. So tell us the breastpiece of decision that has on it these 12 stones.
Now, I read the same verse in KJV. Now, you listen to it. It says, the children of Israel in the blessed bread of judgment upon his heart.
Right.
When he goes in unto the holy place for a memorial before God continually. Right. It was judged by him. But we know that Aaron was not just doing these things. It was an order from God, because Aaron was following what God said to him. So even though the Bible would say that in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, but it was not basically sourced from his mind or his heart.
No.
But it was something directed by God.
My question is on the piece of jewelry, sir. The 12 stones that sit on that breast piece. It's called the breastpiece of decision, or breastpiece of judgment. That's what I was hoping you'd explain for us.
Yes, of judgment upon his heart. Yes. Yes, and that's what I was explaining. That it is called, and Aaron shall bear the names. He's bearing the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goes in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. So these are the stones that are representing the 12 tribes of Israel, and they are already named. That's what the Bible says, and he shall bear those names. He shall be bearing those names. And it says that in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, he is the one. So it's not God who is going to come and say, okay, this is a stone for Judah, and then you should put here, this is a stone for, you should put. No, it was not just like that, but upon himself, because this was not the first time him doing the order that God has given him, no, him hearing the word of God. So he had been already in a relationship with God, and he who has been in a relationship with God knows what to do and what not to do. So when when God asked him to make the judgment, he asked him because God knew that he is somebody who is in a relationship with me and he knows what is right to be done and what not to be done. Just like when God created the world.
No, sir, because
he had a good relationship.
No.
Now, I want to give you a very good and tangible example of this.
No, sir. I was asking that you explain. You can't say the one who knows knows. That's why you're here, so that you help us know. Let's move on. Our time is up. I've got 2 minutes over now. Just explain now the Urim and the Thummim.
I should just explain what?
The Urim and the Thummim, sir.
Chapter 3. Okay, so let me just explain this way. The Bible tells us in chapter 30 that at the right and left of the breastplate, actually, were the two large stones of great brilliancy. And these were known as the Urim and the Thummim, as we mentioned it. And by them, the will of God was made known through the high priest. So it's like God was inspiring his will to the high priest through the Urim and the Thummim.
How did it work?
And so it's like when questions are brought, when, for example, if somebody brings out a question to God, to the Israelit or this guy who is now the high priest was getting the information directly from God through the Urim and the Thummim. So the Urim and the Thummim basically will be like it'll be like an inspiration, you know, when you're praying to God for God to maybe to speak to you on a certain situations. Not always the times whereby you hear God speak. No, it's not always like that. So in other words, it was just like a way of receiving liberation from God, okay. And apparently it consisted of one or more objects of unknown nature.
All right.
Something like that. So yeah, that's what I can say.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate your time. I think we've run over 4 minutes already. Thank you very much for your time. Have a wonderful day further, sir.
Thank you so much, and you too.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.